You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Long ago, in a distant land...
I, Governor William Bradford, want to thank the Wampanoag Indians and the honorable colonists gathered to give Eustace Emery a very special thanks.
Why is that, Governor?
For fixing the main spar on the Mayflower, that's why. And what do you have to say for yourself, eh, Eustace?
I want to thank you, Governor, for bringing us to the New World. And fixing things is what I do.
So it was that the ancestors of Mike Emery have been fixing things since the days of Plymouth Rock.
Bring your Plymouths, Jeep Liberties, and even that restoration project to Perfection Auto Works. As a fixer of fine mechanical instruments, we specialize in all cars, foreign and domestic. Perfection Auto Works, since 1994, 323-8650. 323-8650.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon. What a historic week it has been in the politics of this country. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. A great recap today of what has happened in America in the last 6 days. Michael Bryan will be with us, former city prosecutor, founder of Blog for Arizona, a liberal voice of Arizona. And Joe Morgan, the voice of the conservative right, will talk about what now for the Republican Party, what now for Donald Trump. Here's Michael Bryan. And Michael, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, John. Welcome to the Blue Tide.
Listen, I could not find the words to explain what happened in the midterms 2022. So I turn to the great Vince Scully and the 1988 World Series when Gibson hit the home run. Vince Scully's historic call of the Gibson home run was, in a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened. Couldn't put it any better. What do you think?
Yeah, indeed. Well, it certainly wasn't impossible. To those who were paying attention, it was inevitable. I mean, Arizona's become more and more competitive statewide, just illustrated by the fact that Biden won two years ago in 2020. But if you've been paying attention to statewide politics, it's been clear that we're getting closer and closer to actually taking over the statewide offices. I mean, we had Katie Hobson, Secretary of State, voted in 2018. And now it looks very much like we're going to have a trifecta. We're going to have the governorship, we're going to have the Secretary of State, we're going to have the Attorney General. The Secretary of State, Adrian Fontes, being one of the most important ones because the overseeing of elections. But now we're going to have all the offices we need to defend democracy and civil rights here in Arizona with those three offices. And it's a virtual lock. I mean, statistically speaking, it would be very unlikely for Carrie Lake or Abe Hamada to be able to overtake Katie Hobbs and Chris Mays at this point. They're behind by 30,000 points in the governorship, 20,000 points in the attorney general race, and there are about 320 ballots outstanding. That means that, and mostly Maricopa County and Pima, which have been trending blue, as you know. All the rural counties are practically all in. So the history of these areas, the history of the last day mail-in ballots that we've been processing thus far, all indicate a Democratic lean, not a Republican lean. So our margins have been increasing, not decreasing. So I feel fairly confident in predicting at this point that Katie Hobbs will be announced as next governor and Chris Mays as the next attorney general of Arizona.
That would be huge. Those four Trump-supported candidates going down in Arizona, I would never have predicted that. I fell for the Republican wave scenario. One of the midterm, likelihoods that, the party out of power is going to get into power and they're going to take the House and the Senate and all by huge numbers and whatever. And facing really...
And it's not unreasonable. A lot of people saw the trends. They looked at the history of past elections and they assumed that history would be the future. But this election was nothing like any of those elections. We stripped a major constitutional right from half the population. That has an effect. Donald Trump trying to remain in office, trying to foment a coup, an armed rebellion against the United States, and then these candidates in Arizona all, focusing so closely on this story, this fantasy that the 2020 election was stolen from Trump, gave us completely unqualified Republican candidates. Black Masters never ran for office before. Carrie Lake, no electoral experience. Abe Hamada, no electoral experience. Mark Fincham, a backbencher from the Arizona legislature who nobody ever heard of before this race. So, these are all terrible candidates running in a year where it was obvious that the tide has been rising for Arizona Democrats for years now. And the whole idea that these candidates, especially, were going to, usher in a red wave in Arizona, ridiculous. It was never going to happen.
Well, facing tremendous, you could call them headwinds, weighty history, as we just talked about, Democrats have fought Republicans to really a stunning midterm draw, even more so all across the country. Yeah. Democrats went in this election dreading just how bad these losses could be, pondering how to explain them. I was thinking the same thing. And, of course, by Wednesday, they quickly shifted into a day after hoping they would actually maintain a voting majority in the Senate, celebrating victories in key governor races, which was astounding, and aware that control of the House is still undeclared. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought? No one. Well, maybe you.
I got to disagree. Just me, maybe. But, I look at it... separating the statewide offices, the U.S. senator, and the statewide state offices from the legislative races, I was expecting us to actually do a little bit worse than we actually have done. It looks like we might pretty much stay the same as we were before in the Arizona House and Senate. It's a possibility we could achieve a tie in the Arizona Senate, but I wouldn't say it's more likely than not at this point. I'd say it's 50-50. If we hadn't been in a defensive crouch, and the Republicans hadn't been able to hijack the redistricting process, we would have been in a much better position. And we might have actually made gains this year in the state legislature and in the congressional races. I mean, we're still definitely going to hold on to four of the nine congressional positions here in Arizona and possibly five. I mean, it's very far too close to call in the Engel Fiscomani race at this point. Engel's just a few thousand votes behind. That could certainly turn around as the 70,000 remaining ballots in Pima County get counted.
Yes, I was going to ask about how close that race is at the moment. And it is, 2,500, something like that? Very close.
It's 2,900 votes, a little less than 3,000 votes. But with 70,000 votes left to count, there is a strong possibility that Kirsten Engel could pull it off. Which would be fantastic.
Well, you think about the Ron Barber defeat at 168 votes out of hundreds of thousands as he was defeated for that House seat in different boundaries, but similar.
But if Kirsten wins her race, that means that despite the gerrymandering that the Republicans did under the manipulated IRC process, we will retain 5 of the 9 congressional House seats. So, you know, we basically go nowhere, despite the fact this is supposed to be an off year for Democrats, a midterm election, and despite the fact that the Republicans manipulated the redistricting process. So we're doing really well in legislative races as well.
Crazy right-winger Swigert may get beat. That was surprising, to say the least.
Oh, he's definitely beat.
So,
stick a fork in it. That race is over. Well, we definitely have a new representative in District 1, Jevin Hodge.
And, of course, Republicans put a veteran up against Halloran, and that made a difference. But drawing that boundaries from one end of the state to the other in a configuration that's just insane, God knows how anybody could win that race. But and I think that cost Halloran.
If anybody could have done it, it would have been Tom Halloran. I mean, number one, he used to be a Republican. He was a moderate Republican in the Arizona House. But, you know, he's a very thoughtful, hardworking person who has delivered for his district. It is simply down to the fact that that's a plus 15 Republican district that he didn't win. And he brought it pretty close for it being such a overbalanced Republican district.
All right, we have much more to talk about. Let me take a quick break and come back with you, if you don't mind, Michael. I really have a lot to talk about, so stay with me, please. From the Perfection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Together, they brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
From the Perfection.org studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Michael Bryan is with us. He is a former prosecutor and the founder of Blog for Arizona, a progressive blog in the state of Arizona that the Washington Post calls the best blog in all of Arizona. Michael, let's talk a little bit about the fate of Trump. Is this the end of it? I keep thinking there's the end. Maybe we can see it from here, but is it possible this is the end?
He's like a cockroach. He's like a cockroach. He just goes from disaster, disaster to disaster, and he's still crawling at the end of the day. So, you know, I would like to be able to predict, oh, yeah, Trump's done, but we were exactly here after impeachment. We were exactly here after his loss. We were exactly here at January 6th. Now he's lost a third straight election in a row. And it seems that some Republicans are starting to wash their hands of him, but who knows? I mean, he's bullied them into line before, so I wouldn't be surprised if he succeeds in bullying the grand old party back into line. You know, only time will tell. I suppose a real bellwether will be whether he actually announces that he's running for president in 2024 next week.
You know, if he bails on this for a while, I think that's going to say something very loud. But the idea, too, that he still has the potential of winning that nomination, which is unbelievable, but it's possible. You know, talk about
definitely
possible. So, but I would think the Republican Party would think seriously about political suicide if that happened, because that's what it would amount to. I don't think the party could stand another two more years of Trump. I just don't think it can.
And exactly. They lost in 2018 in a big way. They lost in 2020 when Trump was voted out. And now they've lost in 22, where there should have been some sort of excitement on the Republican side, because it's an out year on a midterm election. But, you know, they've fallen flat. And that's largely due to Trump and Trump's picks for some of the marquee races, where his only vetting criteria was whether or not they'd tell a lie about 2020 with him.
Let's talk about what motivated the Democrats this time around, and the numbers that were just really astounding all across the country that made a huge difference when it came to these congressional races, Senate races, and certainly the races for governor. The idea that Democrats apparently had a message that was stronger than the message of Republicans, and that was they were worried about crime taking over the country and the invasion of the brown crossing the border and taking everything away from us. All of those messages were heard, but I think rejected by many. And it struck me as the abortion issue was a major issue. The idea that Trump was back in the forefront again, and the lies and the cheating and the stealing and the stupidity was just too much for a great many Republicans to do it all over again.
Yeah. When I analyzed the strategy and the message of the Republican Party this cycle, what I see is a lot of fear. You know, fear of xenophobia, fear of, you know, people who are different than you, fear of immigrants, fear of crime. You know, it's all fear, 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 fear all the time. And what that tells me is that they're trying to keep their base. They're trying to keep and motivate their base. Republicans are notoriously much more receptive to fear-based messaging than independents or Democrats. So they were trying to keep their ducks in a row. That told me that they were in the defensive mode, despite the fact that they were crowing and the mainstream media was crowing about how there was going to be a wave. And what I saw instead was young people, and especially young women, swinging really, really hard toward Democrats. And in fact, those are the demographics that delivered this election for us, is strong turnout among young voters under age 30, and very strong support among young women, especially single young women, and a lot of crossover voting. I mean, I don't just talk to Democrats. I talk to Republicans. I talk to independents. And so many of them are fed up with what we've been seeing in this country for the last 6 years. They just want an end to the madness. And so a lot of them were voting Democratic this year just to actually have adults in the room.
Even though his name wasn't on the ballot, Brandon did pretty well in this election.
Yeah.
Brandon was pretty strong.
Yeah. A low approval rating apparently doesn't have as much correlation with midterm results as it used to, especially with just the seismic changes in national life over the past couple of years under the Supreme Court that just couldn't hold a candle.
You know, it seems to me, too, that, Biden has some strength now, and I'm wondering how well he's going to be able to use it. I mean, there's a possibility he will not have the House. Certainly, there's a very likelihood that the Democrats will hold the Senate, even if it goes to Georgia, which is just an amazing event that has occurred in 2022 that we're going to remember for many, many, many years to come. But it strikes me as a very great opportunity for Biden to recover what he has lost in these first 2 years of the campaign, and to build on what he has obviously found and won, too, for that matter.
Yeah. Unfortunately, what I see for the next 2 years is about a 90% chance that Democrats are going to hold the Senate. But it's, you know, more than likely that we're going to lose the House, which means that, you know, we're going to not have that tool at our disposal anymore to be able to actually pass substantive legislation for the people, which we have done over the last 2 years. So I'm seeing that over the next 2 years, what we're going to be doing is building a foundation for either Biden's replacement or his reelect, and a push for a new majority in the House and a larger majority in the Senate. I think a lot of the next 2 years are going to be down to setting up 2024 in order for us to make more progress, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to see the House go after impeachment of the president and his son and anybody else with the name Biden. And then the idea, too, that they're going to try to extract some kind of vengeance, really, over what has happened to them with Trump in the last couple of years. I think the American people are just sick of this. I really believe there's a fatigue that is now built into the American psyche that is simply not going to tolerate any much, or certainly not much more of this.
Yeah, you'd think that they would have learned their lesson by investigating the Libya terrorist attack on our embassy over and over and over 30 times and getting nowhere with it. That this sort of, you know, revenge politics, performative politics using investigatory powers just doesn't work to really move the needle. They're not going to be able to change the narrative out from under a president who has the wind in his sails. We're going to keep moving forward for the American people. We're going to keep executing our agenda through executive orders, executive power as much as we can. And I think that progressive, if you want to call it that, or at least moderate message that we need to use the government to help American people is going to win out over the kind of fear and scandal-mongering that Republicans are going to do with the House.
Got about 40 seconds left. You are predicting that Lake will lose, Hobbs will win, yep. And the same thing applies to the Attorney General's race. Mays will be the next
Chris
Attorney
Mays
General.
Will win.
Mays will win. That looks very possible. I don't know how probable it is, but there's a distance between the two. We'll find out how far it is between probable and possible. Thanks so much,
Michael Ryan. I'd be happy to make that bet.
All right, go ahead. Thanks so much for being on our show today. I appreciate it very, very much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. You too.
Founder of Blog for Arizona, a progressive voice in Arizona. That is pretty darn clear today. I'll be back with more from the Perfection Auto Works studios in the John C. Scott Political Forum as we talk with Joe Morgan, who is the conservative right's voice of Southern Arizona politics. He will be with me after these messages and a world news report at the bottom of the hour.
Long ago and from a distant land, a beautiful ship named the Mayflower sailed towards the New World. But many folks don't know it almost didn't make it. At about mid-ocean, the main spar cracked. But then came a voice from below decks.
I can fix that, Governor.
Aye, and who might you be?
Eustace Emery, Governor. Fixer of fine mechanical instruments. Horologist, actually.
Horologist, eh? Strange no one's invented the chronometer yet. Oh well, if you can fix the mast, do it.
And so the voyage was saved.
Land ho!
Big rock. Looks like a Plymouth. I wonder why it won't start.
And so the legend goes that almost 400 years ago, the ancestors of Mike Emery came over on the Mayflower and began fixing things. If you're looking for a mechanic about whom you can give Thanksgiving, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Perfection Auto Works.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Joe Morgan is a former columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, conservative columnist. He's a former congressional candidate. He has become the voice of Southern Arizona's conservative right, and he joins me now. Joe, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, John. Always a pleasure.
What the hell happened in your perspective?
Several things. First of all, I think people need to understand, and you can take it back to the last election as well as this one, with what's going on at state levels across the country, and again, because of the increased polarization of our country, I don't think you're going to see national red waves. I mean, you just look at the total votes cast for Republicans right now. I mean, I know we still have outstanding races and counts going on, but they won the national vote cast for them by well over 4 million, 5 million. So, I mean, when you look at that number, you're like, well, then surely there was a red wave. No, because where were the votes cast and regional sections? And then, of course, issue-related policy are local. I mean, politics is increasingly more local, especially with regards to the social wars and whatnot. And places where abortion, for example, was on the ballot, Dems won big, even despite the fact that the exit polls showed. I mean, you take Pennsylvania, for example, the number one issue, according to the exit polls, wasn't inflation. It was actually abortion. Nationally, it was inflation. Second to was abortion. So I think abortion may have impacted even down a ballot here, where it was I guess, in the messaging of certain candidates, especially like I'm thinking Blake Masters, for example. The ads by Mark Kelly really emphasized that aspect of him. You know, they had quotes of him saying it's demonic and stuff like that. I think that that stuff does play. And so, again, I think you have to look at everything like that. But again, red wave. Again, Nevada's red. They have a red. They have a Republican governor. This is astounding. When the votes are tallied here, I think Kerry Lake's going to win. I think Abe Hamada will win as well. So, I think, you know, we get caught up in, and it used to be this way a decade ago, but things have changed so much. And especially in the Trump era and the polarization of America even further. I don't see that changing anytime soon. So that's what I think happened.
Do we see the end of the Trump era from here?
Oh, no, not even close. First of all, the man's ego will not allow that. And I know that that makes a lot of my Trump fans not happy. I fully support Donald Trump and his policies. I do think he is still the best candidate to win nationally for the Republicans. And it's simply because of issues. He doesn't sit there and pound away at the social issues. He is all about the economic America first, taking on the globalist, if you will, from an economic standpoint, and then his foreign policy. There's not a single candidate out there that has those issues other than Trump. So it will play in places like the Rust Belt and other things. Whereas like a DeSantis, yeah, what's going on in Florida, fantastic. But it's all social state level stuff. It's not national in scope at all. And will he be able to win nationally in those Rust Belt areas where he would need to win? I don't think so. As of right now, I don't see it, the Trump era over at all. I mean, I know that's the narrative that's trying to be spun, but, you know, it is what it is.
As you take a look at that, though, there's no question that he faces some legal challenges along the way. They're not going to go away, do you think?
Oh, no. I mean, the Democrats have been coming after him with that stuff ever since he won election. So, I don't see the legal challenges to Donald Trump ending anytime soon. As long as he's around, you're going to have that. And I think that that's another thing within, the Republican coalition. I'll just use that phrase. They want Trump to just step aside. They want it to go back to calmer days. Well, you're not going to have calmer days. That's my take on it. But be that as it may, they don't think you'd have what you have with him. It's just one story after the next. One escalated investigation, another day in court for Trump and his friends. So they think that that'll disappear with a guy like, say, DeSantis or Youngkin in Florida. I disagree with that. I think that the same tactics would be used. But that's really where a lot of people are at, and it's hard for them to see it any other way.
You questioned the results of the elections of 2020. What about the elections of 2022? Do you still have suspicions of problems in this vote?
I don't have any problem with what's going on right now, except for the fact that it is such a train wreck in how our statute allows for the election day vote to be dropped off. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say there's anything nefarious because we have a ballot count. The problem that I had with 2020, and still there has not been the satisfactory answers given at all, is that they did stop counting. There was no tally of the ballots. More ballots showed up. Nobody accounted for those, and everything that was said was that those ballots were legitimately cast, and all the laws that were violated, state statute laws, accounted, in my opinion, counted ballots that should not have been counted because they were cast illegitimately according to state statute, and they were allowed because of COVID, and that happened all across the country, and that's why I have real problems with what happened in 2020. That didn't exist in 2022 at all. All right. So I think the ballot count that we have is what the ballot count is. I definitely think it favors Republicans with what's left. We'll see about that. But I do have a problem with the process. And it's that way because of state statute. It's been allowed to stay that way. It hasn't been fixed. It should have been fixed. And the Republicans are more to blame than anybody for that. The Republicans and the state legislature, because they never did anything to try to shore this up. So
we talked about Trump not going away. DeSantis is not going to go away either. He's there. A contest between the two. Trump wins, you believe?
Yes, definitely. Nationally, absolutely. Trump will beat Ron DeSantis. And again, it's for better or worse. I heard one prognosticator put it this way. I don't think Trump can, the Republicans can win with Trump, but I don't think they can win without Trump. And I tend to agree with that assessment because Trump will bring out the Democrat base like nobody else can. On the other hand, he'll bring out his base, and I don't see anybody else bringing out the Trump voter. You saw it in Pennsylvania in spades. They didn't come out for Oz. They just simply didn't. They didn't show up for Oz, even though, yeah, that was Trump, a Trump-backed candidate, quote-unquote. He was not a part of the MAGA coalition, as you will. And certainly, of course, you know, him being seen as an elitist outsider to the you know, working-class Pennsylvanians, that didn't play either for him. So, again, it is what it is. I'm not saying that Ron can't win, and that's why you have primaries. I think primaries are good. They allow both people to put forth their issues, and you see. But no, me personally, I don't think anybody nationally can beat Trump across the country with the coalition that he can bring to bear.
By the way, it would appear that Sistemani is going to pick up that congressional seat, although it's close, and Engel may pull it out, but looks Republican at the moment. That district was redrawn. Any regrets about not running in that district? You would have been a strong candidate.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, they had enough candidates anyway. I'm glad I stayed out of it. I mean, they had so many more candidates this time around than the last time when I ran that even made the ballot. So that would have just made things even more difficult. But no, I don't think I would have been able to do any better than I did last time because I didn't get the money, and I wouldn't have been able to get the money this time. And Juan's a fine candidate. I'm glad he won. He's a great man. Represent the district well. And yes, I do think he's going to win simply because, again, of the votes that are left to count, even if you want to think that all the votes left in Pima County are in Juan's district, which they aren't, we know that, she's going to have to minimum go 52% the rest of the way just to catch him. I don't see that happening since I think the majority of those votes are going to break Republican because a lot of them are, again, mail-in ballots that were dropped off on Election Day.
Challenges for the Democrats, even if they pick up the Senate by one seat. They have to defend 24 seats 2 years from now. 24 Senate seats. That's a lot. So, you know, it may last for another couple of years, but challenges for the Democrats become even more severe, I think, 2 years from now. Don't you agree?
Again, it'll depend on what the demographic shifts are at that time. And again, quality of the candidates on the ballots in the different places where they're at. But yes. And then, of course, if you throw in Donald Trump, if he is the Republican nominee, that'll create another wild card, which will, you know, again, you look at down ballot when Trump in the 2020 election, Republican candidates won all over the place in this country. And that was historic. But Donald Trump lost. So, again, I think Donald Trump, he brings out voters that otherwise will not come out. And that is proven time and time again in the election data. It was proven again this time. J.D. Vance, whatever people think about him in Ohio, he did very well and he won handily. You know, Trump's picking up things that people don't think. I mean, Joe Kent still has a shot in Washington. They're still counting votes there. We'll be into next week. So, again, Trump is the best vote getter for Republicans, but it's not traditional Republican voters that he's bringing to the table.
Joe Morgan, always great to talk with you. I appreciate you being on the air with me and giving us part of your weekend as well as your intellect. Thanks so very much for being on the show. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Joe Morgan, former congressional candidate and former columnist, conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. I'll be back in a moment with the Democrats of Greater Tucson dancing in the aisles following the election of 2022. We'll be talking with Larry Bonine of the Democrats of Greater Tucson following these messages from the Perfection Auto Work Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blog for Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blog for Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Ackerly Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerly Advertising.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Gallery saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here's Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Larry, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you so much, John. We Democrats have a lot to celebrate right now.
You know, I started the show with, of course, Michael Bryan, and I said I can't find the words to explain what happened this week. So I turned to the Vince Scully 1988 World Series as that historic call of Kirk Gibson's home run, in which he said, "In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened."
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way
there
I felt
no
about it.
No red wave. Democrats overcame that historical midterm trend. And the main thing is the march to autocracy was stopped. Voters are getting tired of MAGA and election deniers.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think they're tired of Trump, too. I have to disagree with my former guest, Joe Morgan, about the possibility of Trump taking the nomination for the Republican Party for president again in 2024. I just don't think that's going to happen. I think Republicans have had enough. What do you say?
Well, if Trump runs, that would be fabulous for Democrats. I mean, he's been rejected 2-3 times at the polls now, and he's going for a fourth. Trump is extremely unpopular with the general public. And, you know, the Republicans try to make this race a race about, you know, Biden and his low popularity. Well, Trump's popularity was another 10 points lower than Biden's is now. And it turns out that people really did care about democracy and they cared about reproductive rights. And, you know, everything, basically the Democrats just had high quality candidates, which the Republicans did not.
I agree with that, and many of those candidates were Trump candidates, and from Oz to here at Arizona with Fitchum and maybe Lake, and certainly the whole idea of a Trump slate that just isn't a slate that may just completely lose all across the board. Let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen with the Democrats of Greater Tucson now. You're in a celebratory mood, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Well, now what?
Well, we've got fun coming up. Next Monday, November 14th at noon, we're going to have David Fitzsimmons, the hilarious Arizona Star editorial cartoonist. You can sign up for this program by just going to thedgt.org or just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. So David Fitzsimmons is, as you know, a cartoonist, an editorial writer for the Daily Star. He's been there since 1986 when he was 30 years old. And his cartoons are syndicated to 700 different news publications. And, you know, what I love about him is he doesn't take himself too seriously. He says he's known two ways, as the fastest draw west of the Potomac and a flaming moderate at the fringe of America's center. So he's going to do some live drawings for us online, you know, meetings on Zoom. You know, just go to Democrats Greater Tucson or thedgt.org, and you can sign up. It's free. And then to celebrate the broad victory in the stopping of the red wave, we are having our regular Drinking Democratically Happy Hour. And that is going to be on Wednesday, November 16, 4 o'clock to 6. It's always at Brother John's at 1801 North Stone. You can come and enjoy the camaraderie, conversation, and company of fellow Democrats. So come on down, John. Bring your friends, and we've got space reserved inside or out, regardless of the weather. And you, to RSVP, just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and enjoy the fun.
Speaking of friends, I have some friends from the right and the conservative side of the political spectrum. Matt Klink of over in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
who's on Channel 5. But I tried to reach him and to talk about what happened this week, but he fled to London. And I said, well, look, you know, I'm inviting you for Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to have crow. So no turkey, but come enjoy the crow.
That's right. Eat crow, Matt Klink.
So what the heck?
Arizonans don't want people who are at the January 6th insurrection or running for office. You know, they want people who will support public schools, who will support addressing climate change, who, you know, are going to support public education. This is what the Democrats want.
I think it's over for Trump. I've been trying to say that now for seemingly like 5 years or more. But I think Republicans, and I know some pretty important Republican thinkers who just say that's enough. I mean, they've said it before, but I think they mean it this time, because he led them down the primrose path. He did. And that ended at the waterworks. You know, I mean, it ended at a very bad place for the Republicans in 2022. And
well,
I don't think they want to go there in 2024.
And what's happening now is prominent Republicans are speaking out against Trump, and they're telling him not to declare he's running for office. And, there are even editorials in the Wall Street Journal that say, you know, Trump's time is over. We should stop talking about 2020. So, you know, Trump is really a reminder of an imaginary scenario in elections that's old news now. He's been babbling about that since 2016, and I think everybody's just tired of it. You've got governors and Republican legislators all calling him out, just saying, you know, he's a burden, he's an impediment, he's a liability to the mission. But as a Democrat, I really hope he runs before the Senate race in Georgia. You know, he'll just tank Herschel Walker, and we'll have Reverend Warnock in office, and the Dems will have a majority.
Well, very possible that we may not have to go to Georgia, but that's iffy at the moment in Nevada. We'll find out probably this weekend one way or another on whether we need Georgia or not. But it seems to me, too, that Trump, even the, I think it's the New York Post, I didn't know there was a New York Post, a very conservative publication. Is there a New York Post? I know there's a Washington Post, but a New York Post just ripped him.
Absolutely.
You know, just took the skin off Trump, which, was his favorite publication. One he always turned to for, feeling good about himself, and this one just tore him up. So,
I think this might be the year that Trump goes to jail. I mean, you know, he's committed fraud with his taxes in New York. He, suborned the Georgia leadership into saying, oh, just find me, wink, wink, 17,000 votes. In other words, just make them up. He'll go to jail for that. And then the fact that he's stolen our national secrets, and he just lies about it. And, you know, he lied to the FBI and to the Justice Department, and he's going to pay for that.
Well, Lloyd Bodine, thanks so much for being on our show, and thanks so much for what you do with the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Congratulations on an enormously successful effort. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too.
The proceeding has been a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson, who are responsible for the content of the broadcast segment. This has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Mike Emery, thanks so much for the sponsorship of your show. Thanks for what all you do for the town of Tucson and my automobile. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for listening to our show. We'll be back next week with the John C. Scott Political Forum from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Thanks for listening.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google
Democrats of Greater Tucson, and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Daniel Boone was a man.
Thanks for taking me hunting, Pop.
Well, that's fine, son. I gotta teach you how to be on your own.
Clem wants to go hunting too, but his Aunt Tiffa won't let him. She just keeps him locked in the basement.
Over there, son, a turkey. Good shot, son.
Pop, I want to be just like you.
You know, that means a lot to me.
Dad, I just wish this day would last forever. Will things always be this good?
Well, there is hope, son, but changes are coming. But in the end, we'll all work out for good.
I love you, Dad.
Right back at you, son.
There's nothing like a solid bond between family and Thanksgiving, kind of like that bond between your car with Perfection Auto Works. Our inspection, prices, and our warranty are, well, like Thanksgiving. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.